Welcome to the Teach and Tell podcast. I'm your host, Mike Raymer, Executive Director of the Georgia Council on Economic Education, an organization whose mission is to help teachers teach economics and personal finance. Come along as we spend time with some great teachers to learn more about what it's really like in the classroom. Today's guest is Spencer Burrows. Spencer, welcome to the podcast. Let's start out with you telling us a little bit more about yourself and your teaching career.
Well, thanks, Mike. I am teaching at Pacific Ridge School in Carlsbad, California. And right now I'm the 11th grade dean. I'm the civic engagement coordinator. And I primarily teach 11th and 12th graders. And this year that would be government, U.S. history, some business electives, and then most other years also economics.
But how many classes is that? Sounds like six classes. And you're a dean?
It's a couple. I'm busy on campus.
Like so many in your average day, like how many preps do you have?
It depends. We're on a rotating schedule. So between one to two preps typically, but with the outside events and such, it's busy.
Okay. And how big is the school?
We are right now, I believe, about 680 students. We're 6th through 12th grades. And so our middle school has about 90 kids per grade. And then the upper school has about 120 kids per grade.
Okay. So what do you find rewarding about teaching / education / being a dean?
It's a great question. I think the most rewarding part is meeting the students where they are at that point in their life. And so with my 11th and 12th graders right now, particularly 12th, they're getting ready to take off, go to college, and begin that phase of their life. And so getting to bridge that gap with them and myself knowing what's on the other side and trying to tell them, you know, they have a lot of thoughts of what college is going to be like or expectations. Yeah. The internships, they're all going to land as freshmen in Manhattan working in finance,
of course,
which I try to let them down easy right now.
dream, right?
Maybe yeah. Sure. Yeah. But at the same token, I think because of COVID, and this is a longer discussion, but, I think the students we have right now in high school were all somewhere about middle school age during COVID. So their whole trajectory has gotten a little stunted. And I feel like certain things that weren't really points of anxiety before have become a thing now. And so I feel like a lot of what I do is dispelling myths and just trying to bring some grounded reality to the situation they're in and what they're looking forward to, and really helping them balance their goals and bring some perspective to a lot of the things that they're trying to get done, because they're trying to work hard and they all want to do well. I think helping them redefine success is really important.
Yeah. So you mentioned COVID a second ago, and I want to talk about some challenges of being a teacher. How did you survive teaching through COVID? Like my wife's a teacher, and I sat and watched her try to teach virtually, and I was like, man, this is not good. And are you still seeing the effects of that?
Well, a few things. My experience during COVID, I think comparatively, was much better than a lot of my other friends who are in education teaching at different schools in different situations. The county of San Diego let my school treat ourselves as our own community, meaning if we could test our entire school population and then meet the requisite cases or not, we essentially ran a hybrid schedule that 2020 to 2021 school year. So our students were in school a couple days a week, home a couple days a week. So class itself was a super awkward Zoom hybrid thing. But for all that insanity, I think it was so important for those students to be in school a couple days a week, even if it was only interacting with a small subset of their friends from behind masks. You know, which in any normal circumstance is just the weirdest thing ever. But allowing them to get on the school premises for that amount of time, I think was invaluable. I'll tell you, the funniest part was at the finally, whatever, months later, we could all take off their masks and not recognizing anybody. You know, we've been in this, been in a costume party the last 9 months.
My wife said the same thing. She just see kids in the hall, like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, but they know you.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know how we survived that. I just, boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's say we allow you, Spencer Burroughs, you can make a change to fix education or change education. What change would you like to see in education?
Wow. You know, on a very high level, macro level, I feel like some justified and some not. There's been a lot of criticism thrown at the education sector. I mean, before COVID as well, but definitely during COVID and right after. And some things that are true, there definitely is learning loss and there is going to be gaps in testing and skills and in certain other areas going forward. But I think what people on the outside need to understand is that you can't throw magic beans at the whiteboard and cure all this in a minute. And having also worked on the public policy side and kind of the politics side, politicians, policymakers, a lot of people on the outside all want a quick, fast solution. Sure. And it's always got to be, this is the one piece of technology or the new reading program or whatever Columbia University was using for 20 years and they just threw it under the bus. Yeah. Like, that's not going to change anything. So
there's no silver bullet, right?
Yeah, exactly. So people on the outside, I don't think it's a matter of setting or keeping whatever bar was set before and students need to test at that level or some artificial metric and just understand we need to meet kids where they are right now, help them move forward. And by the time they are adults in 10, 15 years, like they will be fine. And so just understanding that I think we need to adjust our expectations a little bit and maybe redefine what we think is the acceptable level of performance. I think Americans in general are hyper obsessed with rankings and statistics. And it almost goes back to this idea of like, nobody asked US News and World Report to start ranking colleges X number of years ago. They just started doing it and everyone hopped on the train because why not just do rankings? So, I mean, I see the same play out with kids. And for all of the outside pundits and politicians and whoever bemoaning the system right now, I wish they would put more effort to just supporting the kids to move them along and get them to the finish line.
I wish they would come teach a class. All the people who are all the naysayers, come hang out. Be, you know, follow your schedule for a week and all your preps.
True.
Yeah.
True.
That would be interesting. So you and I went to Germany a couple summers ago on a transatlantic outreach program trip. And I remember you telling me, this is leading up to the next question, by the way. Remember you telling me about a trip you took with your students that I'm predicting this might be your favorite teaching memory ever. So I'm going to ask you, what is your favorite teaching memory ever? And it's different from what I'm thinking. I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
The best trip I ever took with students is this last year, actually. I took a group of students on a sailing trip in Croatia. And that is by far the best experience. And I raced on a sailing team down here in San Diego, so I'm really into the sport. But any trip like that, or I mean, even to back up, I think it is really valuable getting to have these experiences with students outside of the classroom because you get to see a whole different side of them and students who maybe aren't necessarily, you know, maybe the classroom is not their high strength or interest. Yeah. They come alive in different settings, which I think is great when teachers can also coach sport or run an extracurricular or drama, whatever it is. So getting to take them on that sailing trip in that place, if anyone ever gets the opportunity to sail in Croatia, I think it needs to go to pretty top of their list. It's just an incredible experience. But along with that, I tagged on, I'm a history nerd, and there's a lot of great history in Croatia and the greater Balkans. So we also focused on some of that. Part of that trip was a very quick day trip into Mostar in Bosnia Herzegovina, yeah. And that alone,
yeah,
an unreal experience.
There's some history that was not that long ago.
Absolutely. And so getting to hear that history from locals who experienced it was pretty incredible. So that Croatia sailing trip's got to be the top.
So everyone that I've interviewed for this podcast, no one's going to be able to top that at all or come close.
Don't let them listen to my recording before you do theirs.
Sure, there you go. I'll save you for last. I was thinking about you. You told me you went on a trip to Yosemite with your students, and I had just been at Yosemite. Like, I was like, this is the most beautiful place in the world. And then you told me that you were there with students, and I was like, man, that's awesome. Dang it, that's a good story.
That in particular was an amazing trip. We had some peaks and valleys, no pun intended. There was one part of the hike that was challenging for any individual, myself. Mm-hmm. So we made it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole time I was there, I stayed on the ground. I didn't climb any of those giant rocks, and I don't want to. So doing it with students is like, boy, that's brave. So
we were like the Donner Party, but the Pacific Ridge.
But you all came back, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I think so.
That's awesome. So Spencer, let's leap forward. I don't know how many more years you have to teach or you want to teach, but pretend it's your last day. Like you're winding down, last day of school. What's the last thing you want to teach? Like, what's your last lesson?
In terms of content, you know, I love what we're doing in U.S. history in my government classes right now. And so, especially given that my audience right now is 11th and 12th graders, you know, I beat them over at the head with the idea that, like, you've got to vote, got to be civically engaged. They're all just about that age. So, you know, leaving them with the impression that it's their responsibility to be that civic role in their community, I think is super important. If that's the student side, on the teacher side, I would impart to a teacher entering the classroom or who's in there right now that, you know, the idea is really growth, and nobody gets it right the first time. And, you know, much of the same messages we try to give the students that if you're not making mistakes, you're not learning, you're not developing. And even experienced, you know, quote unquote, veteran teachers have a dud of a lesson every once in a while or often. You know, don't get discouraged. We all know the unfortunate statistics. What is it? Something like over half of teachers drop out within their first 5 years. So, I mean, it's pretty high attrition rate.
And I think that number's growing. The part where the dud lesson. Yeah. I remember in my ninth year having just total flops, but it could be great in first period, same lesson, second period, it's a dud. And you're like, what the heck? And it's the students who are just a different group of kids and just react differently. And
yeah,
I think that's one of the cool things of teaching is you're always on your toes because you have to be, because every class is different. It's just always. All right, cool. So if can you think of any strategies? You kind of mentioned new teachers a second ago. Imagine if you're in front of, you know, 50 brand new teachers, they're going to start teaching in August or September. What kind of resources or strategies would you share with them to sort of help them that first, you know, year of school so they don't drop out after 5 years?
Yeah, well, it's a good question because I was a Teach Plus California Policy Fellow. And so we were a kind of a think tank group that were making recommendations for the California State Legislature, how to improve the teacher training program, teacher development. The number one thing you cannot teach in a prep course or a classroom is classroom management.
Yeah. Like,
you need to learn that on the job. And the only way to do it is to be physically in a classroom with your student teaching or whatever your thing is. And we all know different prep programs or whatever track you're on gives you different levels of exposure. Like Teach for America just literally throws them to the wolves. So, I mean, to your question, like what is a, you know, a resource or a strategy, it's really about development. And I think I started teaching in sixth grade. I think everyone should teach sixth grade at least once, because like you will learn classroom management better than any. You can do sixth grade, you can go in any direction, not because it's like literally in the middle, only that, but like that stage in their development where they are,
they're squirrely.
Everyone should, They're everything at once. They're squirrely. They're not as compliant as young kids. They don't get it like older kids, all those things. But I think teaching sixth grade made me a much better teacher all around. And in terms of professional development, let's say you're in your role and your admin's trying to come up with what we're going to do with PD day or after school. I really do think there is value in having high school teachers go down to the elementary school level and teach those classes for a tiny bit, as much as we can pull this off. Mm-hmm. Elementary, go up to high school, and just seeing that difference in being in a totally different setting and getting to experience that a little bit differently, I think would be, I think that'd be very valuable. I see a lot of high school teachers that are hired for content knowledge and they have their jam and they know a certain area. A lot of them have not been exposed to those kind of classroom management type issues. And I think they would benefit for that and flip on the other end as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, you need to be well-versed with your particular age level and be able to work with that class and that kind of group of kids. But I think too often teachers get stuck in their bubble, especially the longer they've done this and it's teaching the same class, same grade. Yep. Breaking them out of that and making them see something different and new is worthwhile.
I love the idea of a high school teacher going down to an elementary teacher, because I've done staff development with teachers, I mean, since 2008. So I would actually be in front of like 30 elementary school teachers in a workshop, me leading it, and just their levels of creativity just blew my mind all the time. And it's like, man, I never would have thought to do this. Dang it, I wish I'd known this when I was in the classroom, because they're just so creative. And again, I think it's transferable. I mean, I remember teaching seniors and like coloring maps one day, and I had like, you know, colored pencils out, and they were just so happy. Like, we're going to color today? Yes, we are. It was like the greatest day ever. Like, we never get to color anymore. I'm like, you're doing it now. Let's go.
Today is that day.
Yes, it is. So that's good advice right there. All right. So Spencer, I actually have one quick question, then I'll wrap it up with my final question. You're teaching government now, one of your courses. What is it like to teach government in 2024? If you want to touch that at all.
It is an exciting time, and I'll give a plug to the work I've been doing this past year and especially going forward. I'm working with a network of educators countrywide to try to develop curriculum and lessons to lead up to the 2024 election. And we're doing that because if you search online, there's pretty much a curriculum for everything, and yeah, it's canned, it's ready, and there's multiple forms. Elections/campaigning, nope. Like, nobody wants to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Yeah. And I think there's the nuts and bolts of, you pick up a government or a civics book, and it'll almost like Schoolhouse Rock version, like, walk you, well, this is how a bill was passed, as a legislature, yeah, so on and so forth. But I can go on for days and ruin all your podcast time. But basically, I feel like the temperature is raised so high in our country right now and polarized, and for all the reasons that we don't need to mention. But, you know, I think the national media just feeds into that, and social media makes it 10 times worse. And keeping in mind that these kids are going to be able to vote real soon. Whenever I have political discussions in my class, and this is going back to middle school, high school, whatever it might be, I feel like the key is really focusing on issues and not just focusing on one candidate or one, mm-hmm, party. And again, I feel like that just takes you down a bad road. But instead, you know, literally pulling out we get those voter pamphlets in the mail, the booklet describes all the different measures and the candidates, walking through that with the students and helping them understand what they're actually going to be voting on, especially the down ballot issues that garner less attention. And most adults don't understand what they're trying to read for measure HHH is being proposed for, I mean, all these things that get pretty idiosyncratic. But, you know, teaching going up to 2024, it's no secret that the vast majority of Americans don't want either leading candidate to be running. So if that's not going to change, how do you still keep those students interested in the voting process and the civic, mm-hmm, process and getting excited about the issues, definitely voting? And the early numbers seem to indicate, like, we all know older Americans vote in larger proportions than younger Americans. How to keep these kids involved, especially if, you know, one of the things that our civil discourse has really lost the last X number of years is the ability to handle nuance and to understand that you don't have to agree with somebody.
Yeah.
Hear them out or consider their point, or just not let one thing you heard that you don't like turn you off from the entire process. So, you know, going into the voting cycle, there are going to be things you don't like, you don't care for, whatever it might be. You've got to stay engaged. You got to stick with it. We just did a joint government project with a high school in Croatia. And so our students paired up, and their partner on the other side, they were educating each other on American government, Croatian government, similarities, differences. And my students were amazed to see that, like, our Croatian partners knew a lot about American politics. And I was trying to tell them, a lot of people out of our country understand more about politics than Americans do. It's really embarrassing. It's what makes you, you know, kind of squeamish about talking politics worldwide. But, you know, the kids need to understand 2024 is going to happen. There's going to be another presidential election in 2028. It's going to keep moving. So staying involved in the process, I love to get my students working with local politicians who are dealing with much more community issues in a nonpartisan manner. And we had four politicians come and speak at an assembly earlier this year, two council members, one mayor, one council candidate, who were just normal community people yeah. that they can connect with. All different walks of life, different perspectives, different stories, but those are real politicians. You know, not the Netflix version of a politician you see on TV nowadays, yeah. but demystifying the process for them, keeping them interested.
That's good. I taught government once in my career. It was a semester long course, and I found out it was either 2 or 3 days before the course started. Because, yeah, it was, we had a new teacher, and he was going to have two preps. Government would have been a third. I had one prep. So my department chair is like, I really need you to teach this. I was like, all right. I was not really excited about it. As luck would have it, it happened to be the fall of the Gore Bush election.
Oh man.
Yeah. It was that thing, man. That went that, I mean, cause that went through like December. So my kids were really, really interested, and I got to use, I mean, it was just, they'd come in, walk into my room talking about it. And it's like, this is great.
Only so time C-SPAN taught your course for you.
Yep. The only perfect. Time I ever taught it, never taught it again. It's like, that was good timing. Wonderful. All right. Very so Spencer, last question for you. Imagine if somewhere down the road, Netflix makes a 10-part series about you as a teacher, as an educator, as a sailor in Croatia. Who's playing you?
Oh, man. He bears no resemblance to me, but I think Matthew McConaughey, True Detective Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, nice.
He was so good in that show that he could play me. And even if that's a terrible portrayal of me as a person, I'll take it.
I could see him.
It's such a good teaching, acting job.
Yeah, I could see him teaching and out on a sailboat.
Yeah, at the same time.
He is a legend. That's a good answer. Yeah, I just listened to a different podcast with him on it. He's a different kind of guy.
Very different, yeah.
Yes. He lives a much more full life than I do. Definitely.
I love it when University of Texas in a football game, they'll pull him on to do commentary. Then USC's in a football game, they'll pull in Will Ferrell. And it's like the two celebrity, you know.
Just guys.
Yeah.
Love their teams.
They're like mascots in their own right.
Indeed. All right. So Spencer Burrows, I want to thank you for joining us on the Teach and Tell podcast. Keep up the outstanding work out there in California. And when you finish that curriculum on elections, if you're looking to share it, my organization can push that out because we get asked about that all the time. So be happy to share it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Great talking to you.
Mike, good to see you.
All right. We'll see you.
Take care.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Teach and Tell podcast. Help us spread the word and promote great teachers by giving us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, I'm Mike Raymer, and I'm here to remind you that econ is life.